The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
No, this isn't a wildlife sanctuary.
You know what we mean. We are the Biz 1440, KYCR Golden Valley.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The Senate has passed a $1.2 trillion package of spending bills that pushes any new threats of a government shutdown into the fall. That bill now goes to President Biden to be signed. Julie Walker reports the FBI is reaching out to passengers on the Alaska Airlines flight that lost a panel.
FBI telling people on board the Boeing 737 MAX that lost a door plug mid-flight in January, they might be victims of a crime. In letters to some passengers, an FBI victim specialist says the case is under investigation.
That is Julie Walker reporting. Former President Trump insists Democrats will try to cheat in the 2024 election. That's because, he says, they simply have a record they cannot run on from President Biden's years in office. He told the Salem Radio Network Sebastian Gorka his recent warning of a bloodbath was only about the auto industry. This is SRN News.
China is attacking the U.S. patent system, stealing American innovations, and we are helping them do it.
The Chinese Communist Party intends to surpass us and to be the world leader in innovative technology.
Innovation Race, the shocking new movie from the Tea Party Patriots, exposes the truth. China will use our own technology to threaten our economic and military security.
Dominating technology means you dominate the world itself. This is a race that we cannot afford to lose because we're not going to have a country.
If China gains control over 5G technology with a flip of a switch, they could remotely turn off our phones, our cars, even our power grid.
We've lost sight of what it is to protect this nation.
We need to up our game.
In today's high-tech world, there's no prize for second place. Watch Innovation Race. Available now on demand or DVD at SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All of us love sports, but not all sports are created equal. College sports have big budgets, dedicated alumni networks, and corporate sponsorships. Professional sports have even deeper pockets. Millionaire owners, lucrative TV and radio deals, and merchandise sales. High school sports have you. Everyone agrees high school sports give us plenty of reasons to cheer. And now's a great time for us to give back. Supporting your hometown high school won't cost you much, but it will go a long way to ensuring the games we love the most are here to stay. Minnesota high school sports. They're good for our kids, good for our community, and best of all, they're good for you.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
Turn all the lights on and kill the noise. The Biz 1440 presents the best 2 hours of economic news and commentary. It's the King Banyan Show.
How about a fresca?
Your source for penetrating economic insight, razor-sharp analysis, and unflinching universal thought. Everything you need to maintain clarity and stay ahead of the economic curve. Now, here's Professor King Banyan.
He's a strange doctor.
Strange doctor. Hey.
We finally made it to campus.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for making us your choice for a Saturday morning. And I always want to thank, because my guess is Saturdays are supposed to be for family, but Phil Kirpin from American Commitment joins us once again on the show today. Hey, good morning, Phil. Thank you for being with us. I hope you're well.
Hey, good morning. I am, and I hope you're as well.
Great, and congratulations on J.D. Martinez. As a current Red Sox fan, and as a as a, I was a fan of his. I loved him as a Red Sox, and I really just hope he does well for you.
We'll see what he can do at age 36. They said he's going to have to start the season in the minors, though, because he missed spring training. So we'll see how fast he can get up to speed and get in that lineup.
Yeah, I hope so. I think Phil's a Mets fan. If you follow him at Kirpin on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, I guess is the now full title. You have to know that he's a pretty diehard Mets fan, and 1986 is in the rearview mirror, so I've all's forgiven, all's forgotten.
Had a few World Series since then. We've had none, so.
Yeah, well, Phil, I'm actually thinking, were you even alive in 86? I don't know.
Yeah, I was, let me see, 7
you
years
were
old
a boy then.
When we won. So that was like the highlight of my sports fandom career. It's all downhill since.
So, hey, Phil, I'm a forecaster by training, and I do a local forecast here in the St. Cloud economy. In 2023, I was out with a forecast early in the year that said there'd be a recession in 2023. By the end of the year, me along with most economists had egg on our faces, insofar as we were told there's been no recession and the economy is doing pretty well. And so I've put on the napkin and taken the knife and fork and eaten my crow. But what do you think? Was I right to eat it, or do you think the economy is doing really well right now?
Well, we've had some pretty good headline numbers. Although almost everything that comes out, the GDP release, the employment numbers, the inflation numbers, we always get kind of a pretty good headline, and then you sort of look inside, and there's a lot of weakness right under the surface. And so, I think the I also thought we would have a recession in 2023, and we did not. So you have to give the Fed some credit for sort of navigating extremely choppy waters and preventing the recession that I think most of us thought would happen, at least so far. We may still get it in 2024. That said, it's a very, very weak recovery, and there's some real fundamental problems, particularly as it relates to the way people are experiencing the economy, and that is really the key from a political standpoint. And what I mean by that is we've definitely seen significant improvement over the last year, but families are still so far behind where they were a few years ago in terms of their standard of living, because the price of everything has gone up so much more than incomes that we've still not caught up. And so we're still in a situation where for most American households, at the end of the month, they've got to make tough decisions of going without things they used to be able to afford or putting them on the credit card. And I think most families are going into debt to maintain the same standard of living that they had before this inflationary episode. And that's why we actually passed a pretty interesting milestone this month. It was the first time in the history of the country that American households spent more on interest expense of non-mortgage debts than interest expense of mortgages. And so and that's partially because mortgages are at such low rates, but it's also partially because the balances on non-mortgage debts are at levels we've never seen before, particularly on credit cards. And so we've got a situation where consumer spending has held up, but it's held up mostly because a lot of it's been financed by debt to keep up with the rise in prices, because incomes have not kept up. And so it generates kind of headline numbers that are pretty good, but there's this undercurrent, because we're going to get delinquencies and defaults at some point. We're going to get, people are not experiencing the economy in a positive way, and that's not going to change unless, we get significant real income growth where they're out of the hole from the inflationary episode the last few years, and they're experiencing rising living standards again. And so that's why I think there's such a disconnect between kind of the story that the media and the Democrats are trying to tell about everything being great and what most households are actually experiencing.
Right. So one of my listeners tweeted at me earlier, and at you as well this morning, the economy is doing well and the American people deserve credit for it. And it sounds to me like your story is the economy is doing well because the American people are using credit to make it so. They're using their credit cards.
That's a lot of it. Look, I mean, I do think, there are definitely there are definitely some positives. I mean, I don't want to tell you it's all negative, it's all doom and gloom or anything like that. I mean, look, we went through these insane lockdowns that destroyed millions of businesses, but millions of new businesses were created at the same time. You know, we had people who were shut down by the government, and they said, okay, now I'm going to launch a new business that works under these new rules and that I'm allowed to do. And, you know, it's, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit of the American people is pretty incredible. And I've been really impressed, particularly what the American energy sector has been able to do in the face of really an onslaught of regulations and restrictions and withdrawal of leases. And I mean, this is an administration that from day one basically said they were going to go to war with fossil fuels, and yet we've nonetheless seen record highs in production. I think we'd have much higher highs if we didn't have those policies. But the fact we have highs at all, I think, is testament to a pretty incredible sector that is just not going to be deterred by, you know, that regulatory onslaught. And so, I mean, there are definitely positives. I think there are successes that you can point to in this economy. But the idea that, you know, Joe Biden is some kind of economic genius, I think the successes we've seen are in spite of him, not because of him.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, let me just take a quick detour visiting with Phil Kirpin from American Commitment. AmericanCommitment.org is his website. I encourage you to do that. Phil, overnight, the Senate passed the budget resolution that got us, that now means that the next time we have to go through this falderal will be in September or early October. Any comment on what got passed there what's that going to do the economy over the next 6 months or so?
Well, I mean, I am concerned that we're seeing essentially no spending restraint at all. And, you know, I understand the sort of the political alignment, the lay of the land, why it is the way it is. But, you know, we had this unprecedented $6 trillion of additional spending that was justified as COVID response. And, you know, this is sort of, you know, you can read Robert Higgs. This is kind of the story of American history. We have these crises and big expansion and the size and intrusiveness of government. It doesn't go back down after. And unfortunately, this was sort of the public health equivalent of a war in terms of the permanent expansion, the size of government afterwards. And, you know, spending came down somewhat, but it's much higher than it was pre-COVID. And you kind of look at the outlook, and there's no spending restraint on the horizon. And, you know, Republicans made all these promises, and they really weren't able to deliver on them. And I think this is another capitulation. But, you know, when you have essentially a one- or two-seat majority in the House, and you don't have the Senate, and you don't have the White House, I'm not sure that we could have expected much better, but that doesn't make me like it.
Yeah, I think I agree with all of that. I think the point here is just that we spent $6 trillion. It doesn't necessarily feel, and I think that ties to what we experienced since then and where you were before in terms of thinking about all of this increase in non-mortgage debt. I wrote this down, Phil Kirpin, because I'm like, okay, I actually don't think I knew that statistic, and now I got to go draw that graph.
It was in Bloomberg. It was in Bloomberg, yeah, and they had
okay.
the chart in there. So
yeah, non-mortgage debt exceeding mortgage debt. Well, I'm going to go find the Bloomberg.
Interest expense.
Right. Okay. And I think that ties to the fact that we spent so much, and now we're living in a world where all of a sudden interest rates are much higher. I mean, Phil, many people who are, say, 35 and under have never lived in a world where your savings account, your just plain Jane savings account at the bank, is offering you 4 or 5% interest. And your credit card is asking you for 18, 20, 22, 24% interest. Right? They're not used to
it. It is a positive for savers that interest is
yep.
back. So there is
yep.
that. That's true. One of the kind of answers to this mystery that everyone's been asking about, you know, why consumer sentiment's been so much worse than the numbers would suggest, actually Larry Summers, of all people,
yep.
The former
yep.
Democratic Treasury Secretary, had a paper, came out a few weeks ago, where they said that one of the reasons that consumer sentiment and pessimism about the economy has been so much worse than the official numbers is that we changed the way consumer price index was calculated in, I don't remember the exact year, 1985 maybe. And before that change, interest rates used to be mechanically included. So when interest rates went up, the CPI automatically went up because they had interest rates as one of the inputs in how they did CPI. And then they totally changed the way the housing component was done, and now they use owner equivalent rent, and it's a different calculation method, which is maybe more accurate from an economic standpoint. But the old method kind of better captured the way people feel, what they experience, their perception of things, because they see interest rates rising. And in his paper, he found that if we'd been calculating the old way, the CPI peak last year would have been 18%, not 9%. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm actually halfway through the paper. I downloaded it and have started reading it about halfway through. And this is sort of something that came out of, for those that remember, way back in the day when Michael Boskin worked for the Reagan administration. This was part of the Boskin report recommendations, was to get interest rates out of the CPI. We did it intentionally as a part of policy. It actually happened. The impetus for it actually started back in the Reagan administration, back when I was a brand new assistant professor, and I think the point that Summers and his co-authors are making is accurate. When we started to think that inflation had an impact on consumer sentiment, we used a different measure for inflation than we use today. So when people say the relationship broke down, it didn't break down. We changed the relationship by how we create the number. And, you know, God bless Summers and his team for actually figuring that out, because I hadn't even thought of it. And as soon as I look at it, it's like, duh. Yeah, well, of course that must have happened. That makes sense to me. So anyway, we're visiting with Phil Kirpin from American Commitment. Hopefully Phil can stay with us for a little bit longer, and we'll talk more about the state of the economy after these messages. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440.
GodTube.com. Inspiration, comedy, music, faith, and fun. Get the best of GodTube every morning and start your day with a smile. Great faith-based videos sent to your inbox daily when you subscribe at GodTube.com, a division of Salem Media Group.
From breaking news and weather across the country to insight from the brightest minds in conservative opinion, it's Salem News Channel. Home to the biggest shows on TV, like Dennis Prager, weekdays at noon Eastern, followed by Jay and Jordan Seculo at 2. Join SNC, where facts are sacred, critical thinking is celebrated, and the pursuit of truth is unwavering. Watch Salem News Channel free now on Zumo Play. Learn more at snc.tv/Zumo.
There are no words to describe it. The isolation. The boredom. The loneliness. If you're wondering where your teenage son or daughter's spirit went, you're hardly alone. The past year has been devastating, especially for them. But here's the good news. They might just find it again, playing high school sports. Workouts that stimulate, teammates and coaches that care, the sense of belonging so many of us have been missing lately. That's what school sports are all about. The sense of achievement is real, and the camaraderie is hard to beat. Coping with uncertainty is difficult, but school sports can help the teenagers in your family start feeling like themselves again. Encourage them to give it a try. High school sports, it's so much more than a game.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
Looking for a new way to give back to your community, learn new skills, and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. The majority of U.S. firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Aside from helping your community and being there for those in need, being a member of the Volunteer Fire Service provides many benefits, including an opportunity to learn new skills and join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
Don't get lost in the endless stream of misleading headlines. Turn to a leading source of conservative news. Townhall.com. Political cartoons.
Thoughtful commentary.
And an intelligent perspective on the day's headlines. Townhall.com.
A division of Salem Media Group.
This is a thing I've never known before. It's called easy living. This is a
welcome back. King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440, and we're visiting this this segment again with Phil Kirpin from American Commitment, AmericanCommitment.org. And thank you for the tip. I actually found the article on Bloomberg during the break, Phil, so I will post that to the listeners at the end of this segment. I want to focus on this particular point that I think you're making, which and we just left off with the Larry Summers and several co-authors piece about the impact of interest rates on people's impression. We've said on this show, Phil, for a while now, that we have people out trading on Wall Street that have never lived in a world with 5% interest rates. We also have households that are experiencing higher interest rates for the first time in a long time. In your view, you know, because you spend your time thinking about sort of the political impacts of these things, whereas I'm thinking more about the financial impact of these things. What do you see as the impact of a world where we might have higher interest rates for much longer? This isn't just sort of, in my mind, a 1 year or 6 month story of high rates. I think high rates are here for quite some time. What does that mean in your view, Phil Kirpin?
Well, first of all, we need to have a little bit of historical perspective here. In many ways, the rates we're experiencing now are not especially high. They're more a return to normal as opposed to the kind of the zero interest rate era that we had kind of between the global financial crisis and now. Essentially, we had some variation of zero interest rate policy from pretty much all, at least one of the world's central banks pretty continuously for the last, long time. I guess Japan just finally gave up zero. They were the last one. So, I mean, this was an aberration, really, this period where essentially you had central banks making money available free, essentially, and that created a lot of distortions. And so I think it's mostly a positive from the standpoint that, it creates a time value to money, which kind of rationalizes a lot of investments and resource allocations, and will allow markets to function more rationally than what we've seen over this last period. Now, all of that said, it also has a lot of problems because so many institutions and arrangements have become accustomed to these exceptionally low rates. First of all, in the housing market, we're seeing something of an inventory freeze because you've got the vast majority of Americans with, long-term mortgages locked in at 2-point-something or 3-point-something. They're not going to move unless they absolutely have to because the interest expense of a new mortgage is so much higher that even if they sold and bought for the same price, they'd, double the payment. And so you've got this situation where you've got rising interest rates, but home prices are not falling. There's no adjustment on the asset price side because there's almost no inventory, and so we've got housing in a bit of a deep freeze, and so that's a big challenge, and I don't know exactly how you transition out of that. So that's sort of an unusual situation. The other big problem that we've got is in public finance. We've got these enormous federal deficits, which we've just been able to roll over and roll over and roll over at very low expense. Well, interest expense is now rising very rapidly. The federal government's going to spend more this year on interest than on national defense. Therefore, interest is now the largest item in the federal budget. And if interest rates continue to rise, they're not shrinking the debt, they're growing it. And if interest rates remain where they are or go even higher, that's going to really squeeze the ability to finance almost anything else unless they just go even deeper into deficit. And, of course, that will add to the inflationary pressures if that's what happens. So I think there's a big public finance challenge with the rising interest rates. That's probably the biggest one.
Yeah, so I'm taking notes while you're talking because this has been really good. And I think both of those get to a point where my knowledge of the work you've done over the years, Phil Kirpin at American Commitment, has been a lot of the other issues that you talk about are dealing with the idea that we need an American economy that is dynamic. And we had a period where we had zero rates going back to the great financial crisis. And we've had stress in the economy as a result of that. Everything from weird speculations by folks, like the Sam Bankman-Fried story in crypto or Silicon Valley Bank or something like that, to the protests of folks like Occupy Wall Street a decade ago and so forth. And you know, on the one hand, low interest rates allow a lot of fun investment. They allow something like a Tesla to happen. And you know, I take a backseat to nobody, to forgive the pun, in my cheering of people who are like Elon Musk, who are willing to go out and try new things, invent new things. I want that to happen. And I'm worried about what happens in a world with 5% interest rates. Yes, I'm glad that we now have people having to look at the cash value of money and really evaluate rationally whether or not an investment pays back an ROI that exceeds that or not. I like that. But I'm fearful of two things. One, the loss of dynamism that might happen as a result of that. And the other being that a process that's called Japanification, where every time you try to get off the mat and raise interest rates, the political system in the influence of the financial system all of a sudden raises up their hands and everyone abandons the rational interest rate story and goes back to flooding liquidity into the system and driving the rate back to zero. And as you well point out, the Japan story goes all the way back to 1989. And so we've had, you know, what, 35 years of pretty much no growth in a country. And I admit I am concerned that that might be our story. I don't know how to sort that out.
I don't want to say too many nice things about this Fed because I generally am not a huge fan. But I have to say that they've repeatedly delayed cutting interest rates. And they've kind of said, look, there continue to be inflationary pressures. They are still claiming that there are going to be three cuts this year, but I wonder if they won't ease off that and not do that, sort of recognizing that their responsibility is to keep the. I mean, I wish they would focus on total price stability. They have their 2% target, but at least not just go right back to the economy's weak, and so we're going to just flood it with liquidity again. And so I've been actually pretty encouraged that they seem to be holding off doing that. So it may not go the way you fear. And I think that would be a good thing. That said, you know, are they going to allow a recession to happen this year if Jay Powell knows that if Biden's reelected, he'll be able to keep his job, and if Trump's elected, he won't? Or are they at some point going to say, here we're going to cut the next three meetings and that kind of thing? I mean, well, they haven't done it yet, but their public statements are still that they expect to this year. So I don't know.
Well, my speculation is Powell's done after this term anyway. I think he'd like to leave on his own terms rather than be chucked out. But I think he's decided he's had enough.
If he's not trying to keep the job, then maybe he'll do it.
I actually that's why I think so Raphael Bostic, we said in the first hour here on the King Banyan Show, in the first hour, Raphael Bostic, the Atlanta Fed president, who has not been a hawk on inflation by any means, says, I was at two cuts this year and I now got one, and to do it much later in the year. I think there's a real chance that the Fed chooses not to cut rates until the election or after the election, so that it just stays out of that, politically speaking, and in the meantime uses whatever bad news on inflation happens to make the case, not quite yet. And they'll just kick the can until November, and then maybe
I think that's good news, actually. I mean, they've been doing I didn't think they could engineer soft landing, but they've largely done it so far, and they've been shrinking the balance sheet pretty steadily. And if you look at what happened in the 70s, we had sort of a double peak inflation, sort of a two-episode inflationary. The chart goes up, it comes back down, and then it goes up even higher. And if you sort of plot what's happening now against what happened then, it followed that first mountain almost exactly down into kind of the valley in between. And if the Fed had gone right back to easy money, we would have followed the second mountain right back up. It would have been repeating itself. And maybe we will avoid that, which would be very good.
It's my hope. I mean, I hope you're right. I hope I'm right on this, that the Fed holds back. I mean, Summers was on Bloomberg Thursday night saying, I think the Fed's got an itchy finger to cut. But I think maybe he's just trying to job.
Here's the challenge, though. I mean, they may want to continue shrinking the balance sheet, but if the Fed is the only buyer for treasuries, which may happen at the rate that government spending is going, then they're not going to have much choice. And so the fiscal is related here to the monetary.
Absolutely. Absolutely so. And I think that's a good place for us to end, because you're going to take me right back. I've been reviewing the press conference from Wednesday, and I'm going to do a little bit more after this. But hey, Phil Kirpin, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. And I hope we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Have a good one.
Yeah, thank you. Phil Kirpin from American Commitment here on the King Banyan Show. We'll be back after these messages on The Biz 1440.
Ready to soak away the stress of the day? Introducing the ultimate relaxation solution, the Dominion L740 hot tub for half price. Sink into the warm embrace of a luxurious 5-seat hot tub, plus one lounger with neck and shoulder jets to massage the stress away, underwater ambience lighting to set the mood. Transform your backyard into your personal oasis. Claim the station's half price deal now. Call 651-405-8800 or email office@salemtc.com.
You want to feel important? You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters, and that you can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We felt that way too. I'm Sergeant First Class Daphne Pierre from Robbinsdale, Minnesota, and that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers. We are people just like you, and together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit nationalguard.com/MN to find out more. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older, but it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her Relief Factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of lower back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800-4-RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. You can just use that particular intro anytime. Love that. Thank you so much for Phil Kirpin being here. I really, you know what? I'm gonna take a quick detour, and I'm not sure if I'll get back to the rest of the Jay Powell press conference. I've given you a fair amount already, but I did want to take a little time to reflect on this issue. For me, the issue is really, what's this interest rate going to be longer term? And I asked Spencer to pull out a longer piece of the Larry Summers interview. I already played you the itchy finger quote, which, again, I think this is just Larry Summers is talking to Jay Powell, trying to encourage him to have a backbone. He's politically trying to maneuver, being so far out here, so far out that he's basically trying to pull FOMC in his direction to not cut rates very fast. And I think a big part of this is because of what's happening with the long-term interest rate. I think the long-term interest rate is a very open question at the Fed. We did spend some time talking about the quantitative tightening part, and Phil talked about that as well. I like that, but I did want to spend some time thinking about this. So let me play this particular, we'll take a break. I asked John on line one to call back because I didn't want to interrupt Phil and some of the things I wanted to do, but let's get to John at 651-289-4477. Good morning, John. How are you?
Oh, very good. Thank you. Good morning. Yes, I wanted to ask you about something. I discussed this with you perhaps about a year ago, but it seems to continue. In March here, the Star Tribune had an article on Minnesota saying wages are growing faster while inflation slows down. Minnesota added 3,000 jobs in January. The state's jobless rate held steady at 2.7%. And it says wage outpaced inflation in January. We kind of discussed this last year, but I wanted your opinion on the fact that things in Minnesota by this seem to look fairly good. The second thing I wanted to ask you about, which might be for another program, is back in 2008 and 9, you didn't hear much, I don't think, about cryptocurrency, but there was something big back then that was called CDOs and credit default swaps.
Yep.
And they were big involved with what happened back then. I wondered sometime if you could explain a little bit about those two things. I understand that somebody in America at the right time bought thousands of dollars of these credit default swaps and ended up being worth millions. It might be for another show, but someday I wish you could talk about that whole concept as it related to 2008 and 9.
Well, I think I think it might be, first of all, John, thanks for the call. I'm going to ask you to take the rest of this offline and on the air. And one, I will come back to that because there's a new derivative product like CDOs or CDSs is called CLOs, and they are back in the news right now. And I'll find a way to get those in the next piece or two. Let me also say, and this was some of what Powell was saying in terms of the peculiarity of January numbers. January numbers are always influenced, and wage numbers are always influenced by many people get their annual raise in January. Now, there's a seasonal adjustment to those data, for sure, that's supposed to take out that particular impact of everyone's getting their wage increase in that particular month for the year, and so you're supposed to smooth that out over the 12 months. But that smoothing mechanism is always a backward-looking mechanism. It works with a lag, and it may well be, and indeed there are people who have speculated that the higher wage numbers in January had incomplete adjustment seasonally for the annual wage increase that salaried workers frequently get in January. in a January year. So when someone tells me wages grew more than prices, I will tell you this. I just drew, in fact, I'm using a slide on Thursday at the Quarterly Business Report Review up in Sartell here. A slide that shows that real wages, at least in my local area in St. Cloud, peaked in 2020 and are yet to return to that level. They were up in 2023 versus 2022, but that's after falling dramatically by in inflation-adjusted terms, almost 10% between 2020 and 2022. There's lots of stories to think about why that might happen. Part of that, I think, is some of our white-collar workers who worked for firms here in St. Cloud because they didn't want to have to drive to the Twin Cities now have the option of remote work, and they're working for a higher-paying business outside of the St. Cloud market. I think that might be the case, but I don't know. Anyway, let me go back to – but anyway, thank you for that question, John. I think I think this interest rate question that I was raising with Phil Kirpin is highly important. And as I said, I pulled this longish clip from Larry Summers on Thursday night from Wall Street Week that had him explain why it might be that higher interest rates are here for much longer. I apologize for the length of this clip, but it's important to listen to the entire train of thought that he's given, because it's about 100 seconds of what I think of as being really deep analysis. Let's play. This is cut 18, Spencer.
And I find their view that the ultimate neutral rate is 2.6 to be bizarre in current circumstances. Here's what we have relative to a few years ago when they said it was 2.5. We've got fiscal policy in a much, much more expansionary place with much higher deficits, much larger roll of debt. That puts pressure on credit markets. We've got a huge set of new private sector investments going on with respect to green investment in the IRA, going on with respect to resilience and reducing dependence on single sources. We've got a potential huge source of demand for chips and for electricity coming out of the AI revolution. And we've got a huge wealth effect as markets in for both housing and stocks have run way up for the last few years. So with all of those impulses to demand, I cannot understand why someone would form the view that the neutral rate was essentially the same as they thought it was 4 years ago.
So let me explain that particular viewpoint. That what he's quoting is the long run rate being forecasted for Fed funds by the Federal Reserve. The median number is 2.6%, meaning a range of 2.5 to 2.75. If you're targeting an inflation rate of 2%, that means that the real rate of interest, okay, the inflation adjusted rate of interest that you want on short term money is 0.5 to 0.75%. And I have banks driving down through the main east-west corridor of St. Cloud with signs out in front offering you certificates of deposit for something between 10 and 20 months at 5%. And you're telling me in the long run, I won't be able to get that. Well, first of all, that should make me want to run to the bank and put as much money in as I can. Okay. But I want you to understand, this is why I'm skeptical of the claim of that claim. And Summers touches on pretty much all of them. Okay. The one I didn't think of was actually on what was the second one I'll name. But the first one he touches on is that we have
deficits that are as far as the eye can see, a debt-to-GDP ratio that is heading well north of 100%. The mechanism by which growth slows down from high debt-to-GDP ratios is through the fact that you end up having to pay more for your credit in the long run. Why do you pay more for your credit? Because there is some concern that perhaps you won't be able to pay it back, that perhaps you'll end up defaulting on it. And default makes it sound like I'm going to have a credit event where I announce I'm not paying people back, I'm going to repudiate, and so forth. No. What it means is that there will be a temptation by the government over time to eventually force the Federal Reserve into a position where it raises the inflation, the long-term inflation target, in essence, to quietly repudiate a little bit of the debt by having it burnt off by higher and higher inflation that pushes people into paying more in taxes that is used then to service that debt. That's one item. The second item which he cites is investment in green energy. I love that interest rates are going to be higher, because my view is as we get to a world where interest rates are at 5%, many of the investments in green energy that people make today will go away because they won't pencil out as being better than getting 4 or 5% on a treasury. Okay? I pray that's the case. It may not be. If I'm wrong, if people continue to invest in green because they're being incentivized by government policy, that drives the interest rate higher too. Okay? Investment in chips and AI. Okay, is an element in there as well that's driving rates higher. Okay, because building a fab plant is expensive. It takes a ton of capital to make that happen. Okay, and then the last point he says, which I'm a little more questioning of, is the impact of the wealth effect. I would have liked to have heard more about how the wealth effect connects with interest rates. But I think at least three of those items. Well, two of them are absolutely going to happen. The third one may happen, may not. Okay, I think Summers and I would disagree on how much green energy investment there's going to be. Okay, but to think that short-term rates will go back to 2.5% and you'll have 3.5% 10-year treasuries, I think I would not invest on that basis. Because if you thought that was true, there's a nice capital gain waiting for you right now on investing in a 10-year treasury that pays currently 4.25% to 4.3%. Okay, you can make a little extra money, because as rates come down, the value of your bond that's paying a 4.25% coupon is going to go up. You're going to make a capital gain on top of the interest. Maybe so, but I kind of doubt it. I think that 10-year rate is probably where that rate's going to be for quite some time. Okay, I need to take one more break here. When we come back, maybe a little bit more from the Powell press conference. After these messages, you're listening to the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440. Wash away my troubles, wash away my pain.
I've got a math question for you. When you add tolerance, subtract prejudice, and multiply efforts to treat one another with respect, what do you get? Less division. And school sports have it down to a science. Looking for an example of what can happen when we realize there's more that unites us than divides us? Look no further than high school sports in Minnesota.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
Service. You and your business are online today more than ever. Most people are working from home and meeting via internet, and that means IT structures are overtaxed and Wi-Fi is humming. An outage in one of your critical systems now could be a fatal blow to your operation. Arby's Computer Service is ready and able to help. Their staff is standing by and prepared to offer assistance. If your business IT system experiences a failure, give Arby's a call. Their professional team of certified computer and networking specialists is experienced in diagnosing and solving a wide range of issues. With Arby's computer service on the job, you'll never have to worry about dealing with IT-related issues on your own. Whether it's for your personal system or business, Arby's computer service knows that internet traffic is surging, and they're available now to help. You'll always get competitive pricing, trustworthy advice, and excellent customer service from Randy and his team at Arby's Computer Service.
Giving your computer problems the boot. Arby's Computer Service.
All of us love sports, but not all sports are created equal. College sports have big budgets, dedicated alumni networks, and corporate sponsorships. Professional sports have even deeper pockets, millionaire owners, lucrative TV and radio deals, and merchandise sales. High school sports have you. Everyone agrees high school sports give us plenty of reasons to cheer. And now's a great time for us to give back. Supporting your hometown high school won't cost you much, but it will go a long way to ensuring the games we love the most are here to stay. Minnesota high school sports. They're good for our kids, good for our community, and best of all, they're good for you.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
You need to call the police, and you need to call your father, and you need to get you and your son away from this guy.
I want to fix it. That's why I want to sell my home, and I just want to be able to get
everything. No, honey, we don't need to call a realtor. You and your son are in danger.
Direct, honest, The Ramsey Show, weekdays 1 to 4.
IBelieve.com helps women wrestle with the deeper issues of their faith. Drop by for blogs and daily devotionals for women, plus articles on relationships, health and beauty, parenting, and more. At IBelieve.com, a division of Salem Media Group. IBelieve.com.
Welcome back. King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. Are higher rates here for longer? And how long will they last? There was a good question asked at the FOMC press conference. Chris Rugeber from the Associated Press asked about that there is a 0.25% higher projection for rates now, even going into 2025 and 2026. He asked that question, okay, what do you make of that? Jay Powell gives this answer. This should be cut 8.
In terms of are rates going to be higher in the longer run, if that's really your question, I don't think we know that. We think that rates were generally low during the pre-pandemic, post-global financial crisis era for reasons that are mostly, important, slow-moving, large things like demographics and productivity and that sort of thing. Things that don't move quickly. But I don't think we know. I mean, my instinct would be that rates will not go back down to the very low levels that we saw where all around the world there were long-run rates that were at or below zero.
Right. So he's expressing this real uncertainty. And I admit I probably should check myself in terms of I may be a little more confident in this forecast than I should be. And I'm probably less confident than what Larry Summers indicated in his forecast. But I think this is the important piece that something fundamentally changed during the pandemic. That I believe has shaken us out of this zero interest rate world that we went into post global financial crisis. Okay, and indeed, I'll read back this. We think that rates were generally low during the pre-pandemic, post global financial crisis era, for reasons that are mostly important, moving large things like demographics and productivity and that sort of thing. Unquote. The impact of, I think, particularly AI and the impact that has on chip manufacturing,
and on electricity to run all of those data farms that are needed for us to be able to query Claude or ChatGPT or Gemini whenever we want, I think is something that it's going to be with us for a very long time. I agree with Powell that there's uncertainty about that. And I think that is the case. Look, let me play one last cut of Jay Powell from the press conference, and I'm skipping all the way down to the last one, Spencer. This should be cut 16.
If you look at the incoming inflation data that we've had for January and February, I think very broadly that suggests that we were right to wait until we're more confident.
Right. So this last piece is sort of, and it came right at the very end of the press conference, was to me the really important piece. I think the Fed is currently split. You've heard me say before time and again, the Fed really values having a consensus decision. They don't like dissents. He actually addresses the dissent question. We don't have time for that today. But he addresses the dissent question. I think there could have been dissent from this particular view, from this particular FOMC statement. I was a little surprised that there wasn't. But all to say, I think there's a group in the Fed that's almost evenly split between those that want to stick to this path that the markets believe is there, that want to stay, are hiding behind market expectations, and a group that is looking at the data and thinking to themselves, maybe we don't need to move quite so fast. Maybe we can just hang out here for a while. And maybe for that group as well, they too think that long-run interest rates are higher than long-run interest rates are going to be higher than currently expected by FOMC, even though no one's at a four handle in terms of the long-run rate. Many of them, there's apparently a significant number of them that actually are writing down 3, 3.5 for that. We'll talk more about that next week on the show. I want to once more thank Phil Kirpin from American Commitment for his comments during this hour. I want to thank Spencer for editing, coming up with all those cuts, even though we didn't use them all, but we certainly had them at the ready, and I think you got the point. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week. King Banyan Show, The Biz 1440.
Would you like the option to provide your child with a Christian education, but think it's too expensive? Explore Twin Cities Tuitions, our innovative half-off tuition program, which partners with local Christian pre-K through 12th grade schools, turning the desire for Christian education into a reality for over 150 families in the Twin Cities. Visit TwinCitiesTuitions.com to see participating schools like Holy Spirit Academy, Avail Academy, Liberty Classical Academy, and many more. Go to TwinCitiesTuitions.com. That's TwinCitiesTuitions.com.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Looking for a new way to give back to your community, learn new skills, and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. The majority of U.S. firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Aside from helping your community and being there for those in need, being a member of the Volunteer Fire Service provides many benefits, including an opportunity to learn new skills and join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
The Ramsey Show. Never use a life insurance policy as an investment vehicle. 100% of those suck mathematically. There is never a case where leasing a car makes sense. Never do payday lending. There is never a case where going into debt at 18% interest on a credit card makes sense. These are all stupid things. They go in one bucket, the stupid bucket.
No-nonsense financial talk. Weekday afternoons from 1 to 4 here on the Biz 1440. Business and investing talk each day.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.